Once again, you're listening to the Hour of the Time. This is the only hour that ever was or ever will be. This is the most important hour in your entire life. For during this hour, you will decide your future. And ladies and gentlemen, by deciding your future, you will decide our collective futures. Reminder, I will be at the Self-Reliance Expo and Fair 93 in Denver Coliseum, September 16th through the 19th. That's September 16th through the 19th, the Self-Reliance Expo and Fair 93 at the Denver Coliseum. I'll be in booth number 64. If you'd like to come by and say hello and chat for a little bit. Thursday, September the 16th at 7 p.m., I will be the keynote speaker. Friday, September 17th, I'll be speaking at 11:30 a.m. Saturday, September 18th, once again, I will be the keynote speaker at 8:30 p.m. There's a number here that you can call for more information, and that number is 303-482-3731. That's 303-482-3731. Once again, just in case you're scrambling for your pen and paper, remember, whenever you listen to the Hour of the Time, you must have a pad of paper and a pen or pencil with you. We always give out information that you need, whether it's this phone number or something that you're going to hear later in the program. You're going to be sorry if you don't have that pen and paper. Once again, the number is 303-482-3731. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to think about something for just a few minutes, and then I'm going to knock you right out of your chair. If you have a chance, first thing in the morning, go out and buy stock in bottled water companies, because after I tell you what I have to tell you tonight, sales of bottled water will go through the proverbial roof. Can you catch AIDS by drinking water from your tap, by taking a bath in your own bathtub? Is that possible, ladies and gentlemen? Well, I don't know if it's possible or not, but I know one thing that no one is talking about. I know something that has not been discussed. I know something that you haven't even thought about. Across this nation, there are cities that recycle their sewer water and goes right back into the tap. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Sewer water. And what goes into sewer water and from whom? Well, historically, folks, 90% of the world's diseases have been waterborne. Dr. Ian Browning, in his video Climate and the Affairs of Man, stated that he and his daughter did research on HIV-infected medical waste that had been buried in a landfill for years. They found HIV alive and well in the soil. With this situation, it is possible for the virus to move downward into fresh aquifer water supplies from landfills, and we're not even talking about sewer water now. We do know that HIV is chlorine resistant. The city of Baltimore was doing a study on condoms in wastewater. Millions are flushed daily throughout the nation, some of which contain HIV-infected seminal fluid, which end up in the wastewater. Do I have your attention? I hope so. If I don't have your attention, I soon will. Remember, HIV is a blood-borne, bodily fluid-carried disease. Sanitary napkins by the truckload are removed from wastewater flows on a daily basis and taken to landfills for burial. No doubt many of these are HIV infected. No one wants to look into this. No one has talked about it, and you heard it here first. This is the only place that you will ever hear things like this, and you'd better take the proper precautions in your own household. And now, ladies and gentlemen, you know why, once the news of this broadcast and the tapes of this broadcast that will be circulated around the world reach the hands of the billions of people in the world, the sales of bottled water is going to go through the roof. You've had an opportunity to get back up off the floor and into your chair. All of you have been drinking tap water. You must be crazy. Don't do it anymore. And if you live in a city where they recycle the sewer water, remember that HIV is chlorine resistant. Also, remember that you're not safe even if you live in a city that does not recycle their sewer water. Because you heard what I said about the landfills, I hope you were listening. Now, for a little bit of humor, this comes from Doug down in Hancammer, Texas. I believe that's how you pronounce the name of the city. And he writes me these little letters once in a while, and he calls it the Free Press, and it's just a letter, handwritten. And he says it's free. Send no donations, no gifts. Money ain't blankety-blank to me. It's All a Joke. That's the title of this edition of the Free Press from Doug in Hancammer, Texas. Quote, "That's what this country is, a joke, a circus. It is to be kept a secret. Are you there to help? Let's tell them what's going on. I must be crazy? Follow me. Just before Desert Storm, and on Operation Desert Shield, there was a young infantry sergeant of the 101st Air Mobile Division. He and his squad were training and rehearsing to do some door kicking when they took back Kuwait. That is a dangerous job for infantry. With luck, this guy got to ride an APC. That's an armored personnel carrier, for those of you unacquainted with the terminology of those who fight for a living. While our tanks chased the Republican Guard, the cameraman asked him if he was afraid. He says he had to put fear on the back burner. Well, I'm not here myself to put truth on the back burner. This guy was underpaid. This is a patriotism, not much money and not good for your health and welfare. This country is not about patriotism. It is a circus. Here is my facts. You be the judge. The clowns in our circus make a lot of money. This sergeant maybe took in $500 a month. The clowns, David Hetherman and Johnny Carson, pull in more than $15 million a year. They will remain healthy and alive. Jokes are easy to do. Bullets are hard to dodge. Then there are grown people playing children's games, making that much or nearabouts. The baseball, golfers, and football, basketball players. Hard work, but damn good pay, and lots of fun. There are rich preachers. They get rich by deceit. The poor ones get less notice. They are honest and poor. The Big Top is in Washington, D.C., the headquarters of the circus run by the clowns. It is their job to make this country a joke. They are not underpaid. They deserve the raise, as the taxpayers don't seem to understand. They complain about the raise. Hell, the clowns have earned that money. Fine work. There are magicians. We elect them because they know how to pull a rabbit out of a hat. The sole purpose of the magician is to deceive you so cleverly that you are entertained. In fact, you pay him for the work. Your entrance fee is collected by the IRS. The more you are deceived, the higher the fee. We just got the fee raised. Watch the act. The best magician in history is on the stage. People complain about the television and free press. No truth? Are they there to expose the tricks? They are the masters of ceremony. Sit back, folks, and enjoy the show. You are the suckers, referred to by P.T. Barnum when he said, quote, "There's a sucker born every minute," unquote. Catch that act in the center ring. Alan Greenspan was pulling money out of thin air, passing it around. Of course, you had to pay it back. Non-domestic mail. There's a wealth of information. For instance, see the video produced by Ralph Epperson called The Happy 4th of July for $15. And those of you who got his address when he was on the show and got his catalog, you know what I'm talking about. It proves that the founding fathers of America intentionally formed two separate and distinct governments when they formed America in 1776 and 1787. The government of the United States of America, the federal government for the 50 states, and the government of the United States, the government for Washington, D.C. The former was given very specific limited powers, and the latter was given tyrannical powers. It is the latter government that is ruling us today, and that means that tyranny is constitutional. Resourceful researchers have found one additional evidence that this statement is true. They have discovered that mail between and amongst the two areas has two different rates. And I talked about this before, and I informed you that someone sent me a letter with a 2-cent stamp on it, totally legal, and the post office made me pay 27 cents postage due. I took the postmaster to small claims court, and I collected court costs and the 27 cents. These people, these researchers, claim, and it's been proven time and time again, that mail between any of the 50 states of America is charged 2 cents per ounce. Let me say that again, folks. Mail between any of the 50 states of America is charged 2 cents per ounce, while the mail between any of the 50 states and Washington, D.C., or inside Washington, D.C., is charged the 29-cent rate. If you'd like to try it for yourself to see if their research is correct, use this format. On your non-domestic mail, which is any mail between the 50 states of America and not between any state and Washington, D.C., do this. Put a 2-cent stamp in the upper right-hand corner. Below it, write first class non-domestic. And you better print it, because some of you don't write so good. I can attest to that, because sometimes I can't read the mail that you send me. Print first class non-domestic. Beneath that, print without prejudice. UCC1-207. And beneath that, BK space 12, the word statutes at large. Below that, chapter 71, section 23, and then 37 followed by small letters TH, which stands for 37th, and then below that, Congress, comma, session 111. Let me go through that one more time for you in case you didn't quite catch it. A 2-cent stamp in the upper right-hand corner. Beneath that, first class non-domestic, printed. Beneath that, without prejudice, UCC 1-207. Beneath that, BK, which stands for book, book 12, statutes at large. Beneath that sentence, chapter 71, section 23, and then 37th Congress, session 111. Remember, folks, to fully spell out the name of the states, this is very important, the one to which you are sending your letter and the state of your return address. Do not use the two-letter abbreviation or any other abbreviation. Spell the names of the states fully. To be totally correct, it is recommended that you do not use the zip code either. Interesting? I should say it is extremely interesting. Well, what's going on here? By the way, that came from Mark in the Republic of California. I get some interesting letters with some interesting return addresses and some letters that are sealed up so tight that it takes an hour to get them open, and some letters where the correspondence inside the letter is folded up into a little bitty tiny square and everything is stapled together. Got some paranoid people out there, folks. Got to tell you that right now, and it causes us no end of exasperation here. In the state of Colorado, there is a petition to initiate an amendment to the Colorado Revised Statutes. And this is important. So it's to the Honorable Natalie Meyer, Secretary of the State of Colorado. We, the undersigned registered voters of the state of Colorado, do hereby respectfully order and demand that the following proposed amendment to the Colorado Revised Statutes shall be submitted to the legal voters of the state for their adoption or rejection at the polls at the next general election to be held on Tuesday, the 3rd day of November 1992, and each of the signers hereto says. The ballot title and submission clause, as designated and fixed by the board, is as follows. Shall there be an amendment to the Colorado Revised Statutes ratifying the Constitution for the Federation of Earth? Let me say that again. Shall there be an amendment to the Colorado Revised Statutes ratifying the Constitution for the Federation of Earth, summarizing the structure and functions of the world government created under that Constitution, and providing that the election of delegates from Colorado to the Global House of Peoples created under that Constitution shall be put on the Colorado state ballot when 25 countries, including the United States, have ratified the Constitution for the Federation of Earth. How about that? Let's talk tonight, folks, about one world government. Could we have a good world, one world government? What should the folks in Colorado do about this? Is one world government necessarily bad? Why are so many of us opposed to one world government at this time? What kind of a one world government could we live with, if any? You see, we're going to be faced with these questions very shortly. In fact, if we don't wake up and figure out what in the hell is going on and decide we're going to do something about it, it's going to be rammed down our throat, whether we want it or not. And that's why we better talk about this right now. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
Hello.
It's Michael. How are you tonight?
I'm fine.
I think a one-world government is possible, feasible, it can be imagined until we're blue in the face, but until the people have a true say it will just be the pyramid structure of top-down government, do as we say, and we know that. That's what I feel.
Well, I believe that you're right. How would we know? I mean, this is coming at us from all directions, and nobody's even said anything except mentioning New World Order in magazines and newspapers and out of presidents and other leaders' mouths. If it wasn't for that, most people in the world would never have even thought of a one-world government coming.
No. Well, it ties in with Earth Goddess, the environmental factors. The New Age movement, how they push it, it's very sublime. But I don't understand the parameters of the proposed New World Order myself. I can speculate. And I feel I have, personally, to address the monetary issue, if people can awake to that slavery alone, and until the TV sets start going off and some real concern is shown as people, there won't be the desired change. Individual to individual, it has to start, and that is up to the individual to decide his or her destiny that way.
Well, I think you're absolutely correct about that. Anything else you wanted to add?
No, that's it tonight, Bill.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you for calling.
You bet.
Lines open, 602-333-2174. It's important we talk about this because many people are falling for the scam. Many people are falling for the deceptions and the manipulations, and we have to discover what's going on, what we will settle for, what we won't settle for, what we're capable of doing about it. Nobody's talking about these things. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
Hello.
Yeah, let me turn down the radio a little bit. Hold on.
Turn it off. Folks, when you call in, turn your radio off. Otherwise, you're going to have problems. Also, several of you called said there's a buzz when callers call in. We know that. It's in the phone lines. We're trying to get GTE, the absolute worst phone company in the world, to do something about it.
So, okay, I got it off.
Okay.
You were addressing that there's two governments. There's the national government and there's the federal government. It was in the Federalist Papers where James Madison said that the federal government is very limited to its jurisdiction and the laws only pertain to people within the government, whereas the national government only had the common law pertain to them. So the people within the federal government have to do with just the Constitution. The Constitution only applies to the people within the federal government, and the people outside the federal government, in the national government, have nothing to do with the federal government. And so if you're on the outside of the federal government, then all these rules and regulations don't pertain to you. So when you say you're a citizen of the United States, you're saying that you're within the government. In Black's Law Dictionary, 5th edition, it defines the word citizen as one who, under the Constitution or and laws of the United States or of a particular state, is a member of the political community. And if you look up the word political, it means pertaining or relating to the policy or administration of government. So unless you're an elected official or you work for the government in some capacity, you're not a citizen of the United States.
You know what?
You're not a citizen of the United States unless you work for the government. You're an elected official or something like that.
You know what?
What?
You're wrong.
Yeah, well, this is a Black's Law Dictionary.
Well, it may be Black's Law Dictionary, but there are no one who is not a part of the federal government residing in the District of Columbia today. We are all 14th Amendment citizens of the Federal District of Columbia, except for a few brave souls who have become what are called freemen or sovereigns or state, have regained their state citizenship back. But even if they do that, they don't understand that the state has incorporated under the federal government, and so that doesn't help them either.
Corporate body politic people that are the people that are.
No, it's the people who live in this country who have signed away their sovereignty. Do you have a Social Security card?
Yeah, right. Well, you can revoke your signature on that.
Have you done it?
Commercial code.
Have you done it?
Oh yeah.
You have done that.
See, 2-608. What you do is you revoke your signature on all your 1040 forms, your Social Security card, and everything else pertaining, you know, to all the other signatures that you ever signed. You know, anything to do with the government, your driver's license, everything.
Yes, I know all that, and I have done all that. Most people have not done any of that.
But you can't say that you're a citizen of the United States, otherwise you are admitting that...
No, no, you're wrong. There are two United States.
That's right, there are.
There are two United States. One is the Union of States for their mutual benefit and protection, and the other is the federal government residing in Washington, D.C., and the definition of which one you belong to depends upon which words you capitalize. I am a citizen of the United States of America. Capital U, capital S, capital A. Washington, D.C. is capital U, little s. And we could go on and on and on and on, but these definitions, there are two United States, and that's what we were talking about when I read about the non-domestic mail. And it depends upon which word you capitalize, and I may have got one of those wrong because I don't have the things in front of me because I didn't realize we were going to talk about this. We're supposed to be talking about the New World Order, but it's good that you said this because this is one of the ways that we're getting sucked into the New World Order by giving up our sovereignty. The states gave up their sovereignty, and now we're under this all-powerful, tyrannical government, federal government, residing within the boundaries of Washington, D.C., and most Americans are citizens of that government and not their states and have no sovereignty whatsoever. And so if that government wants to put us under the United Nations or into a one-world government, there's very not much we can do about it except take up arms and try to replace the Constitution as the supreme law of the land or put it back as the supreme law of the land. And there's tremendous dangers in that, isn't there?
Yeah, I guess so. Also, I'd like to address, you were saying that it's 2 cents per ounce. If you look it up, it's 2 cents per half ounce on the mail.
You may be right.
The non-domestic mail.
You may be right.
But you're going to be in Washington, D.C. on the steps of the Capitol there. If I see you, I've seen you on films or on videos, so I'll be able to identify you by, you know, knowing what you look like, and I'd like to talk to you more about this citizenship versus non-resident alien, because I'm alien, a non-resident to the corporate body politics.
Let's don't go into that, because unless we're willing to give a course to the listeners out there, they don't understand what we're talking about, so we're wasting good airtime.
Yeah, right. Okay, I'll let somebody else get on the air. Then.
Okay, thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
Line's open, 602-333-2174. And let's keep the subject to the New World Order, okay? Let's keep the subject to world government. It's coming, ladies and gentlemen. It's almost upon us. All of the necessary things to make it come about were put into place years ago. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. First of all, I'm calling from Miami, Florida, and your reception is really, really bad down here all of a sudden. You were fine at first, but now it's terrible. I can barely get you.
All you got to do is mention the wrong word, and they start the funny business. But go ahead.
Question. You're talking about the New World Order, and I've been listening to you and reading your book for now, I guess, I don't know, 3 years now, it seems like.
Yeah, when are you going to finish it?
I read it, and I reread it again, because it's like you always go back, and you always find that one clue, that one information, mm-hmm. that you missed the first time around. So... all the information I've gotten from you, I've learned, I've listened, I've researched it myself. And basically, with all what you said, I believe it 100% wholeheartedly. But for myself, just Mr. and Mrs. USA citizen, what now? I have the information, I believe it. What do I do now?
Well, that depends upon how many people we can wake up and what people want. You see, I'm just kind of biding time until I see how many people show up in Washington, D.C., and that's going to determine what I'm going to do. You see, if this nation wants to keep their freedom, if they want to change things, there's going to be millions of people show up in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't, then probably the same amount will show up in Washington, D.C. as showed up for the gay rights march. And the gay rights people said that there was 100,000. I doubt if there was 300,000. But if no more people than that show up, I'm going to change the format of this television or this radio program. I'm going to take steps to protect my family and my community the best way I can. And I'm going to turn this into a popular format, and I'm going to make some money. If the American people don't give a damn about this country, then I'm going to stop giving a damn about them, and I'm going to take care of my family and my community. That's what I'm waiting for.
You're waiting to see what the results are.
I want to wait and see how serious the American people are about keeping or losing their freedoms, and September the 29th is going to give me that answer.
Okay. Answered my question. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. 602-333-2174 is the
number. Hi, this is Steve from Connecticut.
Hi, Steve. Are you there?
Yes. Hi, this is Steve from Connecticut.
Turn your radio off, Steve.
Okay, it's off.
Okay.
We have a talk show host here in Connecticut. There was a man named Mark, and he was saying a couple of things, and I don't know whether or not you can verify it or not, that George Bush was a adopted son of his parents. He came out and said that. And that he also said that Bill Clinton's mother's maiden name was Rockefeller.
I never heard that in my life. I
heard that one, and he also said to take a look at the back of a Kix cereal that describes the coming of the New World Order, which they show the breakup of the multi-jurisdictional areas of the country.
Well, that's true. You will find it on the back of Kix cereal boxes. You got to remember that the heads of these huge corporations are involved in this, and especially the ones who have the symbology of the mystery religions.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I didn't know if any of the things the man was saying was true, but he was a something to do with intelligence, and he's now a professor at a college, and he was, talking about all this on this talk show we have in this state, and everybody in here is pretty...
Well, I don't know if Clinton's mother's maiden name was Rockefeller. I kind of doubt it, because if it had been, I think that would have showed up somewhere.
Yeah, I'm still skeptical myself, and...
Also, we have genealogists working on Clinton's whole... family history, and they haven't come up with that.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I haven't come up with that either. And but I've been following you for many years now, since the late '80s, and I have most of your tapes. And
well, you're pretty good. I didn't even see you back there.
your tapes and your book, and my good close friend North Carolina has been following you, and there's a lot more people out there that. I know at least in this area of the country, really, follow you and really understand what's happening here. And I think there's a lot of people waking up, and I know I'm going to be in Washington on September 29th.
Great.
And
that's going to tell the tale. It's going to
wait.
It's going to tell me, and it's going to tell everybody in Washington, D.C. just how serious we are and whether or not they have an opponent. And if they don't have an opponent, you guys aren't going to have an advocate here anymore. I will continue programs educating the American people, but I'm not going to try to. I'm not going to keep banging my head against the brick wall anymore if nobody shows up in Washington on September 29th.
Well, I hope they do. I really sincerely. I know we got a few busloads of people going from here, so.
That's wonderful.
I can't. I'm kind of really psyched up about the whole thing, and. I guess a lot of people are afraid that, they're going to be on some list somewhere, this and that, and they're going to be watching. People are kind of fearful when you bring up these kind of things. And
I get that all the time, which reminds me, I got a package today, a guy returned a book, said, this is not what I wanted, please return my money. There was no, there was a return address on the package, but it was some bank in Texas, and... inside, he didn't even sign the letter, so we don't even know who returned the book until I thought, aha, that's got a bank return address. I bet he used a package that the bank sent him something in. So I peeled off the label addressed to us, and sure enough, there it was. I guess he figured that nobody else would be intelligent enough to do that, but somehow I'd be able to come up with it. Can you imagine that? I mean, we get the strangest mail that you've ever seen.
Well, I could imagine. This may have mentioned something else. I don't know whether they can verify it or not, that the David Rockefeller and a lot of these group of people have moved, bought some homes recently in Australia, New Zealand.
Who cares? Who cares?
And they're ready, preparing for the New World Order. In other words, they know there's going to be
who cares?
Turmoil.
If we beat them, they're going to be in jail. If they beat us, who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares?
That's true.
Why do people get involved? Who cares where they live? Who cares what they bought? Why are people chasing all these rabbits down the hole looking for mushrooms and caterpillars and things?
Yeah.
I know people that are following this treasury gate all over the place. I know other people who believe and swear up and down that Alan Greenspan is dead and the Delta forces are taking back the banks and all of this kind of stuff. And they're all fools.
Yep.
Stupid fools. They're chasing rabbits while the enemy is enslaving us and destroying this country. There's only one important thing right now. That's identify the enemy, be in Washington, D.C. on September 29th, and then kick the enemy's ass and take our country back.
I couldn't agree with you more.
All these people are devoting all their energy to trying to find the POWs. What are you going to do when you find them if we lose our country? What are you going to do when you bring them back here and they put the chains on their ankles here? When are you people going to wake up?
Yeah, that's true. I'd rather be...
I hope you know I'm not talking to you personally.
Oh, no, I know. I'm very, patriotic myself, so I feel fairly strong about this. I'd rather end up in one of these, fighting and going in one of these internment camps that I understand they...
There's millions of Americans who believe that the Supreme Court ruled in secret that the 13th Amendment... is not the real 13th Amendment, and the real 13th Amendment, and they supposedly sent out this secret ruling to the state's attorney generals, and they're all waiting for the state's attorney generals to take action and throw the lawyers out of Washington, D.C.?
Yeah.
Where did these people come from? Where did they buy their brains?
That's a very good question.
F.W. Woolworths went out of business. I know they didn't get them there. Where did they get them?
That's a good question.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thanks. Bye.
Folks, you need to take some steps to get ready for what's coming, because it's coming. I want you to call Gene Miller at 1-800-289-2646. It's 1-800-289-2646, and do it right now. You owe your family, you owe yourself the security of providing for protection of your assets and the economic calamity that we are facing, Do you know that gold right now is so undervalued, that people in foreign countries are buying it up lock, stock, and barrel, every ounce they can get their hands on? Everybody except for Americans, they're diving into the paper market that's artificially inflated. Call Gene Miller now, 1-800-289-2646. Folks, protect your future. By protecting your future, you'll be protecting the future of this broadcast, the hour of the time, and, of course, freedom for the world. Do it now. Call 1-800-289-2646, and you'll be glad that you did. On the air, and we're talking about the New World Order, One World Government.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
This is Rod.
Hi, Rod.
Michigan. I met you in 1989. In fact, I visited your home. I don't know if you remember me.
I remember everybody who's ever visited my home. Why would I not remember you?
Well, I don't know. It's been 4 years.
What can you add to our topic tonight, my friend?
The topic, I'm wanting to... Have you expressed anything about Alternative 3?
No, we're talking about One World Government. That's the topic tonight.
Yeah, Alternative 3 in relation to the New World Order. Have you expressed any thoughts on that?
No, that has nothing to do with World Government. Thank you for calling, Ronnie. Line's open, 602-333-2174. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hi, Mr. Cooper. Thank you very much for your show. I just wanted to say that a new world government would work only if people understood the importance of spiritual life. if people understood the importance of the spiritual life, then a new world government could work. It wouldn't have to be one religion, but spiritual life is the most important aspect.
Well, if we don't straighten up, we're going to have one world religion. That's what the World Federation of Religions is all about, the World Council of Churches, and a lot of other
people. Actually following religious principles, not lip service. Not just saying they're a Christian or a Jew or Muslim. Hare Krishna, this or that.
Well, we got a long way to go because I saw a lot of Christians who disobeyed all that Christ ever taught in his whole time spent on this earth when they condemned the Branch Davidians because the newspapers told them that they should.
That's true.
Real
we've got a long way to go, but we have to recognize, just like the Seventh-day Adventists or good Christians, there's good sects around, and that those Orthodox sects help push religious principles. And then that's what everyone's got to recognize. Our spiritual life is of foremost importance.
Well, I got news for you, my friend. This is still a world of imperfect men. And in any government, whether it's national or world, it's going to be imperfect men ruling imperfect men. You said that the Seventh-day Adventists were all good Christians. I beg to differ with that. Right after the Branch Davidian fiasco, the Waco Massacre, the Seventh-day Adventist Church was threatening other branches off of the Seventh-day Adventists that they were going to turn over their names and addresses to the FBI if they didn't fall into line with the Seventh-day Adventist Church. That's not Christian. Thank you for calling. Line's open, 602-333-2174. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good.
Bill, I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciate your show, how much we really care what you're doing. I know that it might not be possible to get all the people that you hope to get in Washington, but...
We have to. We're down to the wire.
I understand that.
There's no excuse for not going.
No, it's scary, and I understand that after you come away from this, if you want to turn into your family and turn into yourself, and that's good, and I wouldn't blame you at all for doing that, because everybody, you know, they all deserve to go down to the tubes after that, because if nobody stands up for themselves as well as their country, you know, you'll know, we'll know, and then everybody's on their own.
Well, you know what I'm getting tired of? I'm getting tired of people calling me and telling me that I'm not credible because I charge for information, yet those people aren't helping to feed my family. I have to feed my family, and this is my work. I'm getting tired of every time I go to lecture someplace, the only thing that people want to know is how can I protect my assets? How can I make out in the New World Order? A lot of people listened to my broadcast about the mystery religion and about the people who are really in power and went out and knocked on the door to try to join the Freemasons so that they could get the benefits of it.
That's right. Yep, absolutely right. Because it's the American way almost, even in defeat, you know? For going down the tubes and everybody wants to see what they can grab or who's gonna, you know, if Bill Cooper doesn't work out, well let's jump on board with the New World Order.
Yeah,
and I want to thank you very much for all you've done.
Well, thank you for your call.
Bye bye.
Line's open, 602-333-2174. Good evening, you're on the air. Hello. Goodbye. Line's open, 602-333-2174. And we're talking about the New World Order. Hopefully, I hope somebody talks about it. Good evening. You're on the air. Lines open, 602-333-2174. Mothers, look for your children. There's a couple of them loose, and they're playing with the phone right now. Good evening. You're on the air.
Mr. Cooper, God bless you. This is Dan calling from Marinette, Wisconsin.
Hello, Dan. Thank you.
And I read your book, and it made me believe that there really was a God. And I don't have much to offer for the New World Order, but thank you for opening my eyes.
Well, what do you think about a one world government?
I'm not for it.
Why?
I don't think I'd want to be a slave for it. I wouldn't want to be a slave in the New World Order.
No, no.
And that's what your book told me is what's going to happen.
Well, so far, that's the one that's coming, and that's why they have to manipulate us into it. See,
absolutely.
If it was going to be something good, they wouldn't have to manipulate us. They could come right out and say, hey, this is what we want, folks, and this is, you know, we want your input, and everybody get together and put your heads together, and we can make a wonderful world. But they're not doing that, are they?
No, not at all. Your book tells a lot of truth that nobody else wants to hear, and I'm very... that really depresses me. I won't tie the line, Mr. Cooper. Thank you, and please stay in the business of spreading the truth.
Oh, I'll continue to spread the truth, and I'll continue to educate people. I just will not have any false hopes of stirring anybody to action.
No, I won't either.
I'll concentrate on the people around here whom I know will fight and help, and those will be the people I will expend my energies on. If nobody shows up in Washington, D.C., or if just a, 300,000-400,000 people show up or less, there's not going to be any opposition to the New World Order from the American people if that happens.
That's obvious.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you, sir.
602-333-2174. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, and so can the whole world.
Okay. Well, good, Mr. Cooper. There's one thing I wanted to mention to you. You sound a little discouraged at times. Dealing with these meatheads out there. But remember, one heck of a long time has been spent on bringing the worst out in our American people. And it's a lot easier to bring the worst out than it is to bring the best out. That's the first thing. The second thing is, we don't have leaders. The Civil War, we've lost a lot of our altruistic leader types, like the fingers on the hand. There's many different types of thinkers. They work together. One's not better than the other, but if they pull together, they play violins. We're lacking some of our thumbs. In the Civil War, we lost our officers at a ratio of 9-1 to the common man in the army then. And our officers were elected by and large. They play games with our history.
Yes.
In any event, we've got to create more leaders. And you're doing a doggone good job out there. They say, don't get discouraged. Remember, we're a wild, rebellious people. That's why they threw us away from the other side. Or we sneaked away from the other side. We came here and set our own nation up.
Oh, yeah. Well, I want you to understand, I'm not getting discouraged. I'm just getting realistic. You know, when I first began my quest, so to speak, as the mysteries call it, I had a great faith in the American people that if they were just confronted with the truth, if somebody shook them and said, hey, 6 o'clock, it's time to get up. Come on. I had this great faith that they would wake up and look around and look at the truth and say, hey, we're losing everything that men have been dying for to protect since this country was founded. We've got to do something. But that's not what happens.
No, well, you're right. You know, this is a characteristic of the American people. Think of them in the forecastle of a ship, for example. You walk in and you tell them, on deck, boys, we got a leak in the hull. They all come up, don't they? But
yeah.
You got to come in as the leader, as the old man, the captain, if you will.
Well, you know, I think we're at a time in our history when we have to stop looking for leaders. I really believe this in my heart. I believe that each individual person has to become their own leader, and they have to stop looking for other people to tell them what to do and where to go and what time to get up and what's the truth and what's the lie. See, I'm the only person in the world that tells everybody, don't believe what I say. You go out and start digging and you'll learn what the truth is. I'm giving you the bits and pieces and the things that'll get you started. But if you don't do that, you're always going to be the puppet on the end of somebody's string.
Oh, listen, you're right. Our American people, you've got to bring them forth, as you said. But think of this too, we're shy people as well. You've been to a country dance, you watch our pure people at work, so to speak.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What do you notice? Nobody gets up and dances at first. Everybody seems sort of shy. Then one or two of the older ones, they're usually older, sometimes the younger, but these are the moral leaders, if you will. They come out and they dance the first two or three dances, and lo and behold, all the rest relax now and go forth. It's okay. You follow what I'm saying about the American people and this leader? Not so much a leader, but it gives sort of a moral okay.
Yeah, I guess I really don't understand all that, because I was always the first one on the dance floor and the last one off until I got seriously injured, and now I'm still the first one on, and now I'm the first one off.
You're a leader. That's
it's not because I want to come off, I'll guarantee you.
No, it's like the fingers in the hand. They're different personality types. Are you familiar with Kohlberg's theories?
Oh, yeah. I'm just trying to inject a little humor into this.
Well, it's Kohlberg's altruistic types, but realize Kohlberg was only a pioneer in this.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the secrets of the American character is that there are so many different personality types in our grouping. Look at the square dance. You got a caller, don't you? They all work together. Little kids of 6 years of age on up to men of 90 can all dance together in a square dance. And they
mm-hmm.
work weaving in and out as a team. The secret of us in the field. Mowing hay. Barn raising, if you will.
Yeah, we need more of that, don't we? We need more barn raising.
Yeah, we need more fiddlers, if
That's
you will.
Right.
But one of them.
More barn raising and less church burning.
Well, they'll come forth all right, but I say we've got to reach to the American heart. And, well, you know the meaning of the word captain, don't you? The true meaning of it? The word father, capo, the head, from Latin. And the infantry is made en France, my children.
Uh-huh.
It's a relationship that has nothing to do with age.
Uh-huh.
It's like on a lifeboat. For years, we elected a lifeboat captain.
lifeboat captain that we chose has nothing to do with his age, but rather this is the man that's going to sit on top of the water as food rations back after that lifeboat when you're sailing along, and he's got to be dependent on to pick those up in the water.
Uh-huh.
Who are you going to choose? Follow what I'm saying?
Good point.
And these are the types we got to encourage. And apparently when nature, when a group is under stress, more of these do develop and come forth. And you're one of them, and encourage more of them. Keep watching, soldier.
Well, thank you. Thank you for calling.
Bye.
Well, folks, that was a good call, and you gave me a little spirit there, I've got to say that. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
I need you to talk louder. Put your mouth right in front of your phone and talk a lot louder.
I'll get on a different phone.
Did
hello?
Hello?
Yes. Well,
that's much better.
Thank you.
You're on the air.
Thank you.
Turn your radio off, ma'am.
It is off.
It is off? Okay. It sounded like you were listening to the radio and then trying to catch up. Okay, what can you contribute to tonight's broadcast?
I'd like to talk about the New World Order.
Good. Go ahead.
Hello?
Hello? Go ahead. You're on the air. The whole world is listening to you.
Thank you. I'm enjoying your program immensely. I want to talk about the gentleman that called earlier about the New World Order and Alternative 3. Please don't cut me off. I'm an officer's wife. And I would just like to say my supposition on the air.
Go ahead.
I have a strong feeling about my POWs, and I do consider them my POWs.
Uh-huh.
They all disappeared to Russia. I do know that the New World Order has been involved in space travel to Mars. And
how do you know this?
I just...
You see, that's
my... It at a gut level feeling. Okay, put it that way.
Well, this is my theory, too, based upon a lot of proof that I found, but I thought...
Just please let me have my say.
Go ahead.
At any rate, it's my feeling... at a gut level, as a female, as a wife, as an officer's wife, that my men have been sent to that planet as a sort of slave labor organization. Now, I just needed to voice that tonight and appreciate you very much for being there. I will be in Washington, D.C. to support you.
Support this country.
About my country.
Yeah, and don't go to support me. Go to support the Constitution.
I'm very concerned about my country and my children and my Constitution and the whole nine yards.
Wonderful.
Thank you for being there and doing what you're doing.
And thank you for your concern, and thank you for going to Washington, D.C. on September 29th.
Okay, good night.
Good night. Well, a lot of you out there are probably scratching your heads. We'll talk about that on some of the program, this Alternative 3 thing. You see, there's a secret space program, and we believe that the technology that they have is way beyond anything that you've perceived, and NASA, by and large, is mainly just a scam. Keeps you entertained like the Roman circus, like the Super Bowl. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening. Sorry, Bill. I'm a little nervous. I've been listening to the show for a couple of months. I want to thank you for opening my eyes.
You're welcome.
Go ahead.
I said you're welcome.
Oh, thanks. And I'm trying to get all the information I can. I'm trying to educate myself from several sources, of course, including you, about what's going on in the world.
Uh-huh.
And it occurs to me that the thing that, at least that I'm concentrating on, is in the best spirit of Gandhi to try and make the New World Order very expensive to implement and then very expensive to maintain if they do implement it. If you understand what I mean by protest, by non-compliance.
Well, you know, if they pass the new crime bill, the 93 crime bill, S-8, which is in the Senate now, if that's passed, you won't be able to protest. In fact, if you even have a meeting in your home, they can confiscate all your property under that bill. Did you know that?
I had heard something to that effect, but you make it sound a whole lot more frightening than I heard it.
It's terrifying.
That's S-8?
S-8 is
the... Does it have an H.R. number?
No, it's the Senate bill. H.R. is House of Representatives.
Right. I'm asking, is there a corresponding...
I don't know. All I know about is the Senate bill. I have a list of all the bills that are in Congress. I'll be reading that another night here soon.
Okay, I'll be listening for that.
Okay.
May I be permitted a quick question on something you referred to earlier?
Go for it.
About the non-domestic mail rate.
Uh-huh.
The fading on the shortwave prevented me from catching one line that starts with UCCI.
Nope, it's UCC. It's actually, the line starts without prejudice. UCC
1-207. 1-207, this is UCC space. 1-207.
Yes.
Okay, great, and I have the rest of it.
The UCC stands for Universal Commercial Code.
Uniform Commercial Code.
Right, Uniform Commercial Code, that's
correct. I'll be looking that up as soon as the program's over.
Okay.
So I have a copy.
Okie doke.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling.
Right, bye-bye.
Folks, I got time for just about a half a call. Good evening. You're on the air.
Bill, how you doing?
Good. You're going to have to make it real quick. We're almost out of time.
Yeah, this don't really pertain to the stuff you've been talking about, but have you ever heard about the access tunnels under Washington, D.C. that go out into the Midwest as escape routes?
Well, I don't know if they go out through the Midwest, but I know that there's tunnels under Washington, D.C. for the protection and safety, supposedly, this is what they say, of Congress and the people who run the government, and there are at least 100 underground installations scattered all over the country that we've been able to pinpoint, that I wrote about in my book, that were actually built and started way back in the 50s, and scared the government so much they came out with a special TV show just to refute what I wrote. It was amazing.
I know a guy that retired from the Army Corps of Engineers.
We're running out of time. You got to hurry real quick. You got to.
He was telling me about this. Not the ones you're talking about. These are like underground. I don't know what to say, but I guess they have some problems there. Full of shit like you.
Well, there's another little child with full diapers out there. Mom, you better get him before he starts playing with himself. And for everybody else, good night, and God bless you all. By the way, folks, I'm getting tired of that clown. It's a $100 reward for his name and address and phone number.